You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you can listen to podcasts. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean, and I'm here in the studio with Paul. Paul, how are you today?
Hi, Sean. I'm good. How are you?
I am great. It's always a pleasure to see you.
That's a weird thing. Why? I don't find the pleasure.
You don't find pleasure in seeing me?
Pleasurable. Bruce Almighty reference. Love it.
Great. Underrated movie.
Did you know they were going to make another sequel called Lucifer Almighty, where he actually took the powers of Satan instead?
Interesting.
Yeah, but he turned it down and we got Evan Almighty.
That's fair.
There's your fun fact from the fanny pack today.
I don't think I've actually ever watched Evan Almighty all the way through.
It's
And I love Steve Carell.
It's not horrendous, but it's still pretty bad.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
All right. So for any of you out there who are new to the podcast, we started last week with our epic 2-month discussion of the Harry Potter films.
We didn't really think it through.
Yeah, we did. I did. You didn't.
I suggested it.
No, you didn't. I suggested talking about Harry Potter.
Yes.
But you didn't in no way ever say, hey, let's do 8 straight episodes of Harry Potter. I was the one who said that. So, yeah, I'm awesome.
Well, no, because we brought it for discussion about should we do it in 2 parts? Should we do multi... Like, you.
But yes, so this is week 2. And what does that mean? We're talking about the second film.
That's usually how numbers work.
Yeah.
Unless we were talking about Star Wars, then.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I just went cross-eyed. So we're talking about Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. But first, we may have some news in the entertainment
world. But wait, there's more.
Not always. Paul.
Yes.
What is the news we have in the entertainment business?
Well, first and foremost, we want to wish Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure a very happy birthday. At time of recording, 34 years ago, that movie came out.
Wow.
Did we do it? I think we did an episode.
We did an episode of Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey in the same episode.
I definitely do enjoy those movies.
Excellent Adventure is a classic.
Well, it's got excellent in the title.
Well, obviously.
You can't go wrong with excellent in the title. But yeah, so happy birthday to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That's a really cool thing.
Excellent!
And so we had, at time of recording, it's been about a week since, or just shy of a week of the Super Bowl. 5 days?
Yes. No.
5 days?
Yeah.
4 days.
Sounds about right.
Sunday, Monday. Happy days.
Yeah.
So now Sean watched it for the game. My wife watched it for the Rihanna concert, and I watched it for the commercials, as per usual. So that way, our entire friendship group has something that's going on that night.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Did you snack? Did you have some snacks?
No, I was trying to stay awake.
I did see the Snapchat of you trying to stay awake, or the Instagram post of you trying to, or something. But yes,
I
you
made
did
it to till Rihanna, and then I went to bed.
Everybody makes it to Rihanna.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But I wish I would have stayed up. It was a hell of a game. Hell of a finish.
I heard that the ref was controversial in his call.
People are just crying. Okay. Philadelphia is just, let
Easy.
It go.
All right.
Let it go.
You should do a podcast called Laces Out. But anyway.
You keep saying that, but, just saying. It takes two to tango.
And I don't know sports.
I know.
Sports! Still got to make that t-shirt. But anyway, so during the game, we had our obligatory commercials and, of course, trailers. So we do have 3 trailers that we wanted to just quickly touch base on. And one of them I'm really excited to talk about. The other two, they're there and they exist. We have the first trailer for Fast X.
Cars. I literally gagged in my mouth when the trailer came on.
Really? What about it got you?
Well, again, just the utter ridiculousness of it. Now Jason Momoa is the big bad guy, which I'm sure he'll turn out to be like their best friend.
I still find it very strange that like Jason Statham's just kind of hanging out with them now. Like they thought he killed Han.
I know, but now Han's back, so all's well. You love him more.
It's like in Smallville where Lionel's like sitting next to Chloe for Thanksgiving dinner.
And that's true. I forgot that is a good analogy right there. But I'm done. I mean, we'll see it.
We'll see it.
We'll laugh. at the stupidity of it.
It's weird because like that series, they've been showing it on TV a lot more. Ironically, they showed the first one I was watching. I forgot how much I do enjoy the first one.
It's a great movie, but it's a totally different movie.
They cut out an entire scene. You know the scene when Paul Walker goes to the party after he saves Vin Diesel in the beginning after losing his car? They cut out the whole scene with him and Mia. I was like, wow, that's a huge character building moment and a relationship building moment. But okay, we don't need it in the movie, I guess.
No, not at that time. Because honestly, who would have thought we would have gotten 9 more movies?
That's wild. But it's funny because like I can watch the first one. I can watch the second one. I can even watch Tokyo Drift.
That's fair.
The fourth one, we also really enjoy. The fifth one, fantastic.
4, 5, and 6, I have no problems watching.
Yeah, but then...
From 7 on, it just... Again, you can say it was after Paul Walker's tragic death. Even if he was alive, I'm sure the plots would have gotten stayed ridiculous. It's not like Paul Walker was the only one keeping these movies level-headed.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that the stupidity would have continued on, but it's gotten just crazy, and it's just not believable anymore. We're past believing.
Wait, hold on. Are you describing my friendship to you? It's gotten ridiculous and unbelievable. It's just crazy at this point.
That is fair.
Or my marriage. I don't know what she sees in me.
Well, that's true.
That's fair, yeah.
I thought you were going to say something bad about her. I was like, whoa.
No. She's way out of my league. We all know this. It's like a Hollywood movie. It's like Adam Sandler. He said it in The Grown-Ups 2. Look at me and your mother. That wouldn't make sense. It's like a Hollywood movie. But anyway, so the trailer came out and we got Jason Momoa as the bad guy. They were teasing it up until the Super Bowl. And
it's Charlize Theron's back. And is anything ever going to happen with that? She's like been the big baddie for the last 2 movies, maybe 3. John Cena's back.
And she keeps having different haircuts.
Yeah, good for her. I love Charlize Theron, though.
I know. You have such a thing for her.
I have a thing for a lot of women.
Do you want to watch Reindeer Games after this?
Reindeer Games.
Yeah, you see her topless in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Ben Affleck, Gary Sinise, and her. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen Reindeer Games.
You've never seen Reindeer Games?
No.
But you get the
I've
joke.
I've seen Devil's Advocate.
That's not a bad movie.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah. But I don't know. Well, like I said, like Sean said, we'll see it, and we'll...
You think they'll go to space again?
I hope not. I definitely think somebody from their writing team was on the internet... Because that was nothing but jokes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the It's Morbin time. Mm-hmm. I feel like somebody on the internet saw that that's what people wanted as like memes and thought that that was true and was like, oh, so we could just do that. Cars in space. And we'll bring back the Tokyo Drift crew because that's the more realistic part of this whole thing. But anyway, so next up, I'm going to save the one I really want to talk about for last.
Absolutely.
Guardians of the Galaxy had a new trailer.
Yeah.
It looks good. I think we're excited to see it. You know, we like the first two.
Yeah.
It's one of the rare times that the sequel holds up very well.
True.
I can watch the sequel.
I haven't seen the sequel in a long time, but it was very good.
The whole opening sequence.
Oh, the opening sequence with ELO is fantastic.
Nothing will ever make me laugh more, and Melanie can attest to this, and I'm sure you can. There's nothing funnier than something happening off screen that comes on screen just to go back off screen.
Yeah.
So, like, the background, like, all of them are getting, like, knocked around and, like,
When he's dancing and then, you know... He stops when Drax looks at him, and I just always enjoy that.
But this one has definitely a little bit of a darker tone.
It definitely looks a little more dark, a little more serious, not as silky.
Some torture scenes.
What I'm looking forward to the most is what's the music going
to
be.
I look forward to the music. I look forward to seeing what happens to these characters because I forget how long we've actually had them. We had them for
over a decade.
So we had Guardians, Guardians 2.
Guardians came out in 2012. Well,
something like that. Infinity War, Endgame, and then Thor: Love and Thunder. Yeah. So they've been around, and like they, and then the holiday special. Did you watch the holiday special?
You keep asking me. You should. We're past the holidays, so I'm not going to watch it.
I would recommend before that movie comes out, you watch it because it does set up for the new movie. But anyway,
in what way? Like in really
character development and where the Guardians are at the start of this movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So anywho, and also ripped Groot. Like he's like bulky and a younger adult. And Kevin Bacon.
I don't need to see Bulky Tree.
And Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon's in it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
As Kevin Bacon?
As Kevin Bacon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mantis and Drax are trying to get the perfect Christmas gift for Peter.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. And it is wonderful. But I would put it on par with Werewolf by Night. Just throwing that out there for you.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. That's high praise.
Yep. Producer Melanie and I watched it. We loved it. We thought it was great. All right. So the trailer that we really want to talk about. That somehow managed to make people forget that Ezra Miller's a terrible human being. The Flash trailer has dropped.
Yes.
And it is our first actual trailer for this movie that's coming out like in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's right around the corner. I wanted to say it's coming out fast, but too easy. But so we had an original teaser quite some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And with the shakeup at DC and Warner Brothers, we weren't sure what was going to happen. And the we make fun of Ezra Miller, but we do hope that they're getting the help that they need and that they're better and all that stuff. We don't ever want to downplay mental illness, but oh my God, he went off the rails.
Yeah.
So the trailer drops, and go ahead. What is?
Well, for me, it's Michael Keaton, mm-hmm. and you see him in the suit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He does the Batman, and it's not like he's aged a day.
Oh, yeah. And the music got me. When he dives down, and he looks like he can actually scrap in this. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Like
he's pushing, he's got to be
71.
He's 71?
Something like that, yeah. He's
looks
he's
good
up
for
there.
71.
But so.
And then you, of course, when you and me going back and forth, because I'm like Michael Keaton, you're like.
Chris, Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but Ben does not look good in the one scene of him as Bruce Wayne.
I don't know what's going on with Ben.
But he is wearing a blue and gray batsuit.
Really?
Oh my God, I've been waiting for a live-action blue and gray one in forever.
Why him?
Apparently Keaton has one in that vault, too.
Okay.
So there's a shot of Keaton's vault.
I just got to say. I don't think they're going to do it. But if there's any way they can cameo Christian Bale.
It'd be wild.
I would lose my crap.
Yeah, that would be wild.
That would be one of the best-kept secrets ever. Because obviously Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were the worst-kept secrets ever.
Oh, yeah. It was great. But, The trailer gave us a better idea of what this movie's going to
Flashpoint.
Be. It is Flashpoint. Did you ever watch the Flashpoint Paradox on HBO Max?
No.
Highly recommend. It's based off the graphic novel. It's animated, but it is really good. Okay. And it is very accurate for the most part. But so I'm looking forward to it. I like the look of it. Some of the things have grown on me, like his new suit has grown on me a little bit more. The fact that they gave him the gold lightning now instead of the blue lightning, the alternate version of Barry. I mean, they got some really good stuff in there. There was big leaks about how this movie was supposed to end with Michael Keaton's Batman and Sasha Cole, I think is her name, Supergirl, taking over as the main Batman and super person. That's why Michael Keaton was going to be in Batgirl with J.K. Simmons and all that. So it's interesting. I'm curious to see what they're going to do.
Because again, we don't know what James Gunn's doing. And
they did do reshoots. Remember, they pulled Ezra Miller in when he was like wanted by the police.
That's true.
So
who knows?
But we'll
I will say this. The trailer did make me a little excited for the movie. I was always interested in this movie strictly for
Keaton.
But after seeing the trailer, I'm interested in Supergirl.
Michael Shannon, too.
Yeah, I was blown away by that. I was like, oh, crap. And that's not just like a cutaway scene from Man of Steel. That's like new footage.
New footage. He is...
So I am, and it's obviously you see the ship, and I can't. That's not Metropolis. Is that like the scene? Is that like the scene in Metropolis where it's destroying Metropolis?
Yes, I don't know.
I don't know. So, like I said, I'm interested. We'll be there. I don't know about opening night, but we'll be there relatively right after.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
I'm hoping it's good because you know what? DC needs a little.
DC needs a win. They need to validate having Ezra Miller still as the Flash.
They need to validate this entire franchise.
Universe. Yeah.
And I feel like this movie could do it,
mm-hmm.
especially with having Affleck in it. I mean, obviously, if you're gonna have Affleck, I don't know why you can't have Cavill. But we're not gonna get down this rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's.
I mean,
but also supposedly Cavill and Gadot both had cameos in this film.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand.
Well, who knows? Like, in all honesty, we don't know.
We don't know. But.
And they could have changed the entire ending of this entire franchise.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's our biggest news. Now, you ready to jump into it?
We are. So we're going to jump into Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. We're going to talk a little bit about the book first.
I hate this book.
Really? Okay. Is this, like, your least favorite book?
It probably is. It's a book that scratch it. I don't hate it. It's just not my favorite.
It's not your favorite. That's fair.
And
is there any book you hate? Like, is it like...
All right. Controversy. I would say between this and Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. The look you just gave me. Woof.
Prisoner of Azkaban is my favorite book.
So that is the general consensus also.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think...
You hate Prisoner of Azkaban because of how the movie just cut so much out
I
of
think
it?
That might be the biggest issue.
Okay. Because I agree with you. I still love the movie.
The movie's
which
good.
Which we'll get into next week, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
This is probably my second to least favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if I'm given all seven books, mm-hmm. and it's like, here, read these in whatever order you want, Chamber of Secrets is probably going to be last.
Okay.
Like, if you have to read them in the order of favorites, what is your favorite book, if you don't mind my asking?
Prisoner of Azkaban.
It is Prisoner of Azkaban. Yeah. Same with the film?
Yeah. Prisoner of Azkaban film, followed by Sorcerer's Stone.
Solid. Goblet of Fire is my favorite book. Oh, yeah. I don't know why. I just really enjoyed Goblet of Fire.
I think
it started to mature. That's really...
Prisoner, you saw the mature in Prisoner of Azkaban, but then it really took another step forward in Goblet, obviously.
And also the relationships got complicated. Friendships got complicated. Yeah. Like, people were arguing and just... Also, I love the idea of the Triwizard Tournament. It's like the coolest thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
And that's why I hated the movie.
Goblet of Fire?
Yeah. Oh, well, scratch that. I really only hated the maze at the end. We'll talk about that when we get to the movie.
Yeah.
But for me, like, Goblet of Fire is my favorite book. Order of the Phoenix might actually be my favorite film, though.
See, I don't care for Order of the Phoenix.
That's weird. I don't know. But I think Sorcerer's Stone still holds it, just a spot.
Because it's the nostalgic one. It's the one that introduced us to seeing this world in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always going to have that place in your heart. That's why I think Chamber of Secrets, I feel, in my opinion, kind of gets maybe shit on a little because it's the next one after Sorcerer's Stone. It's Christopher Columbus coming back, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's the same world that we had in the first one, but it's just it's a darker story.
Right.
And maybe it just doesn't work with the way Chris Columbus, you know, brought that world to life. It just...
I don't know. I feel like I liked the book more after mm-hmm. I saw the film. I think I mentioned it last week, but there, like, some of the book was just confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I specifically mentioned when the car comes to life. I didn't understand it in the book, but then the film made it easier for me to understand for some strange reason. Also, the memes. The meme of Ron Weasley driving the car and looking over his shoulder. Somebody put that in the Fast and the Furious. So basically, we talked about the Fast and Furious trailer where, like, Dom looks at Jason Momoa, who looks at Letty, who looks at, like, and they go down the line, and then, like, the last one is just Ron, like, ah! But I don't know. There are some parts of it that I don't enjoy, though, like, of the movie, but we'll talk about the movie in a minute.
So the book was published July 2nd, 1998, so only a year after the first one. So she must have had this, you know, book kind of semi-written when Stone.
Original working title, Half-Blood Prince.
Really?
That was the original working title.
Interesting. I did not know that.
There are a couple of references to the Half-Blood Prince specifically. So it was the working title,
mm-hmm.
and it was supposed to release a lot of information, like important parts of the story. Because in all honesty, even though we get introduced to a Horcrux, we have no idea what it is for another four books.
Yeah.
Like, we, again, it's one of those things. But, you know, we had, the Hand of Glory and the Opal Necklace that are on sale in Bergen and Botts appear. The Vanishing Cabinet makes its first appearance. Mm. That's damaged by Peeves. And, of course, Tom Riddle's Diary, which turns out to be one of the
major Horcruxes, yeah.
Yeah, so, and they also, this is the first novel that explores the relationship between him and Ginny.
Sure.
Still think he should have ended up with Hermione, but that's neither here nor there.
J.K. Rowling does the same thing.
Yeah, but J.K. Rowling's also losing her mind, I think. All that money's getting to her. But anyway, so any other thoughts on just the book?
Not really. We'll get into the differences between the book and the movie after we discuss the film. And I'm trying to think of anything really else. No, that's about it for that. So
there was a great video game adaptation.
For what system?
For everything. They had it for Windows, PlayStation, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, GameCube, PS2, Xbox, and PC.
That's how old these are, that the Game Boy was still a thing.
Yeah, five unique video games by five different developers were released between 2002 and 2003. And they're very loosely based on the book. But we didn't even mention the first Harry Potter, Sorcerer's Stone. It's such a great game. Like, solid game.
I don't think I ever played it.
Yeah, it was really good. And they introduced one of producer Mel and I's favorite spells, Flipendo. That was like his default attack, and he would just yell out, Flipendo, over and over again. And they have it in Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, really? Oh, you guys had a good giggle, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. I just got it, and Melanie's like, make the person flip again. She's saying she was not, but we definitely had a lot of fun with Flipendo. Anywho, do you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we will discuss the film. So we will be right back.
Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction.
And we're back. And Paul.
Yes.
So try and remember a simpler time. It is summer. Early summer of 2002, were you excited for the next Harry Potter? Like, were you really excited for the next Harry Potter film?
I think I had a better level of excitement for this one than I did for the first one.
Fair. I think I agree. I'm in the same boat as you because
I think this is when I started reading the books first.
Okay.
So, because I did mention that I did not understand certain parts of the book. Until I saw the movie.
Yeah.
And also, this was exciting because we were also going into our second year of high school.
Yeah, that was the thing. You know, again, the first two movies were the only movies that came out literally back-to-back mm-hmm. years. After this, it took like a year and a half, sometimes 2 years before the next movie would come along. But I distinctly remember going to see the first Scooby-Doo in theaters. And the first teaser of Harry Potter and the Chamber of
Secrets. The live-action Scooby-Doo?
The live-action Scooby-Doo.
That is a franchise that I would love to do with you at some point.
That's
on this.
That's fair.
Yeah, because I will argue that second movie till I die.
I still, to this day, have not seen the second movie.
You gotta see the
second movie. I know. Everybody tells me because they bring back the actual villains from the original cartoon.
And it has one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie where I will never not laugh at it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And also Alicia Silverstone and Seth Green join the cast.
That's fair.
That is fair. We didn't even talk about the Clueless commercial.
Oh, we didn't talk about the clue. We are now.
As if.
Still, she looks like she hasn't aged a bit.
She looks great.
And then the girl next to her is the same girl from from the movie too. Yeah. I think. Like, yeah, that was interesting.
Anyway, we digress.
Yes,
but yes, 2002, simpler time.
So the movie literally was released almost a year to the date after Sorcerer's Stone, yeah. Which again we never got again after this.
Which is ironic because also the books like
came out a year,
and then. Then the books came out later and later. Like, the wait between Deathly Hallows and Half-Blood Prince was, like,
yeah,
painful.
Now, I do recall seeing the trailer for the first time and immediately noticing the differences in the voices of the kids. Like, their voices changed so drastically from 1 to 2.
All right, who would win in a puberty fight? The cast of Three Ninjas.
Things I would never thought I would ever hear from someone.
She doesn't hear me, it's fine.
She just smirked, so she did hear you.
She hears me.
Or she just automatically thinks you're saying something stupid, and she just smirks no matter what.
That's how I make a living. But anyway, who would win in a puberty fight? The kids from Three Ninjas? Or
the original kids from Three Ninjas.
And Three Ninjas Knuckle Up.
So I don't feel like they really acted as if they were much older than the first
because remember we talked about the Three Ninjas.
I know,
movies.
We did.
In Knuckle Up, there's the one scene that they definitely added in, like, well past.
That's right, you did point it out to me.
And Rocky's voice is so much deeper. Mm. And I think he's got braces, and his voice is cracking every couple of seconds. And this movie, who'd win in the puberty fight?
You're asking me who would win
in the puberty fight? Yeah, this movie Three Ninjas
Knuckle
Three
Up. Ninjas. Well, this movie.
Yeah. Ron's voice. Okay, wait. Even better. Who would win in a puberty fight? Henry Rowan Gardner from Rookie of the Year or Ron Weasley? Because, oh my God, the voice cracks in Rookie of the Year and Ron Weasley are wonderful.
They are very good.
They're so good. You could do a drinking game to it. Every time their voice cracks, take a drink. You'd be dead.
I like my liver.
Yeah. But who'd win that fight?
I think for nostalgic reasons, I'm going to go with Henry Rowan Gardner.
Yeah.
Because I also haven't seen Chamber of Secrets in a long time, so I can't remember how much cracking Ryan's voice does.
Follow the spiders. Why can't it be follow the butterfly? Like, it's bad. There's some rough ones. And that's the issue you run into, though, with having children actors, especially if
you're... But it also works.
Oh, of course it does. Because
they're playing, you know, right. They're...
Can you imagine having, like, that time in your life, the most awkward, uncomfortable time in your life memorialized forever. And making almost $1 billion.
Well, they didn't make almost $1 billion.
You know what I mean. The film did. But yes, it's funny.
Yeah. But that was the first thing I noticed right off of the bat from the trailer was I was like, oh, wow, they are definitely, even though it only seems like it's been a year, I mean, it feels like it's been longer because they also grew. You know, they got, you know, definitely.
Well, and also, let's not forget, just because there was a year between the films, they shot the first one.
Yeah.
Then they have 6 months of production. Then they have, you know, another 6 months of editing, putting things together, doing the road show, like the press and all that stuff. The movie comes out. Then they start filming. It's already been almost 6 months since they at least finished filming. So films are interesting. They're very few. It's very rare nowadays, especially to get films filmed back to back. You have like your Back to the Future, your Matrix, like stuff like that. They did, but
Pirates of the Caribbean,
this franchise too. But
Lord of the Rings was more than this one was. I mean, Lord of the Rings was literally filmed back to back to back. Like it took 6 years out of the actors' lives basically to make these movies. 5 years,
because
you know. I think, wasn't it like when Ian McKellen was filming X-Men, Bryan Singer was able to get him completed quickly so he could go off to New Zealand to start filming Lord of the Rings. So.
I wonder, like, as an actor, what the preference would be. Like, because we...
As long as you know what you're getting into, I can't imagine you'd have a problem with it.
It's funny because, like, we have a lot of respect for actors.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, here, like, it's easy to bash on actors and be like, oh, you guys are making billions of dollars doing nothing, just pretending. Some of these actors, like, you hear, like, I love listening to podcasts, like, you know, like Talkville about Smallville, and they talk about, like, it was 3 a.m. We'd been up for 16 hours and we're trying to get this take done, and it's our only chance to do it. And, like, it's cold, it's this. And it sucks. Like, I can imagine being an actor isn't always so glamorous.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially like TV actors who work for 10 months and then they're off for two. They don't have any other time off for the most part. Like, acting is not easy. And I can only imagine for kids especially how tedious it is.
Well, and again, that's one of the main reasons why Chris Columbus got the job, because he was really good, well known working with kids.
If you were an actor and it's like, all right, we have this franchise for you, and I don't care what franchise it is, because obviously that'll also impact it, but would you rather film back-to-back and then have a long break afterwards, or would you rather a break in between, do you think?
Depends on the timeline of the movies. Are they supposed to be movies that are relatively close in proximity of the plot, you know, or is it two totally different, you know, like two different timelines? So, like, for this, I agree with you, it would have made sense. Again, we're dealing with kid actors here, so there's no way they could have done this, but you know, to film these movies back to back to back would have made sense, because then we would have gotten
a little more continuity.
We've gotten them looking a little more like their actual age, and to the most point, they never looked that much different than what their character was supposed to be.
No.
Because what? Let me. I'm just again. I'm going. Harry Potter is basically 11 years old in the first book, and he's what, 7 years later, he's 18 in Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Daniel Radcliffe in the last one,
it looks pretty good.
I'd say he's maybe 23.
Yeah, it's
you
close.
Know, it's close. It's not perfect. You can never be perfect.
Yeah.
But in answering your actual question, depending on the plot of the movies and if they're somehow connected, I would definitely want to try and film them back to back if you can. If not, get them filmed as quickly as possible back to back, you know, like not that much time in between.
Yeah.
But it's also very challenging. I mean, it's challenging. I mean, look at the original Superman. That was literally going to be filmed at the same time, both Superman 1 and Superman 2. Yeah.
So. I think if you're going to do a role that's physically demanding, like especially nowadays the superhero roles where you have to maintain a certain physique as well, filming back to back might be better.
Yeah, I mean, no, I hear you, because you end one movie and then how long are you off the film for until the next one starts?
And you got to maintain all that.
You got to maintain it. You can't lose all that. If you do, then you got to build it back up. It's tough. I can't imagine that.
I'm already tired.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So you want to talk about the cast a little bit?
Yes, we can. So we have most of the cast returning from the first movie. Obviously, Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, Emma Watson, all returning as Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
And we've established that they are older and slightly more awkward.
Yes, they are. We have some major names returning. John Cleese as Nearly Headless Nick, Robbie Coltrane as Rubius Hagrid, Warwick Davis as Professor Flitwick, Richard Griffiths as Uncle Vernon, Richard Harris in his final performance, returning as Albus Dumbledore, and Maggie Smith as Professor McGonagall, and of course, Alan Rickman as Severus Snape. So we're going to get into the new additions to the cast.
Or the bigger.
The bigger new additions. But...
So let's start with my least favorite character. Ginny Weasley has an actual role
in
this.
Why do you hate Ginny Weasley
so I liked
much?
Her better in the books.
Okay,
in
that's fair.
In the book, she's much... I think they...
They probably didn't give her much to do in the movies, which is always a problem.
But the problem also is, in the books, even their relationship makes a little bit more sense. It's still not my relationship that I follow in the... And, like, that I support in the books.
No, I agree. It's always been about Hermione and Ron.
Yeah. So, for me, like, it made more sense in the books, because obviously you can also talk about the character's inner thoughts. And that's the problem with translating book to film, is... A lot gets lost in that translation. So Ginny's she's fine in this, and I have no problem with the actress. Bonnie Wright is her name.
Yes,
I think she does a fine job, especially like she's young. They're all young, and they
well, she's technically a year younger than them, so she's supposed to be 10 years old.
And it's even more wild. 11. Like her interaction with other cast members is minimal in this movie.
Well, yeah, I mean she really doesn't get involved in the movies until Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, so like in this movie, it's a lot of shots of her just by herself.
Yeah,
and even like Hermione's. Like she taps out for the second half of the movie. She's
pretty much
all petrified. That's what it's called.
I know, but just the way you said it, she's all petrified.
All petrified. Yeah, that's gonna be the title of the episode.
Petrified. All petrified.
All petrified. But I think she does fine in this movie, and you know, again, I have no problem with Bonnie Wright. I think she does a great job.
She works with what she's given.
And unfortunately, in the films, she's just not given enough.
I agree with you.
And the awkward tying of the shoe scene in one of the later movies where she's like, your shoe's untied. And like she all like seductively
well,
ties
even the
shoe.
Even the scene in Half-Blood Prince where she hides the
diadem. No, the book.
The book from him. And it's like this like seductive like...
This could be our secret too.
You know, but it was just like, I don't know if that should be like that. That was just really weird.
It was very strange.
But it wasn't her. It was just the way they did it. And I was like, okay.
It was done way better in the books.
But so the big major. Now, this character never appeared again in any of the movies, and I can't remember if the character ever made an appearance in any of the books.
He does.
Thank you. Yeah. And that is the character of Gilderoy Lockhart, brought to life by the great Kenneth Branagh.
Yo, he devours the scenes.
So hammy, but it's perfect.
It is exactly like because hamming up a scene can work in one of two ways. Either it's cringy and painful to watch, but with the right actor, and especially if it matches the character.
Yeah.
Like, he just locks you in, or she, excuse me. Yeah. The character, like another good example is Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor.
Oh.
Hammy as hell.
Yeah.
But oh my God, when he's on screen, you just can't help but enjoy yourself.
Absolutely.
And Kenneth Branagh does a great job as Gilderoy Lockhart. And
not the first choice.
Who was the first choice?
Hugh Grant.
Really?
Hugh Grant was the first choice for the role, but he was
scheduling
conflicts. Yeah. Also, Alan Cumming was considered, but he apparently, according to Wikipedia, withdrew due to salary disputes.
You know, ironically, who I could definitely see as a Gilderoy Lockhart? Jude Law.
Yeah, I think charm. He was too young at the time, though.
Yeah.
If Jude Law now...
Jude Law now?
I think would have been perfect.
Current Law.
A little order in there, but, you know.
But, yeah, no, well done. But he kills it. He does a great job.
He's great.
But,
absolutely
yes.
Great.
So Gilderoy Lockhart, in this movie... At the end, he gets... By the way, spoilers, I guess? But at the end of the movie, he gets obliterated by his own curse because he uses Ron's broken wand.
Yeah.
In... I forget which book exactly it is, but when they go to visit... It's got to be Order of the Phoenix because they go to visit Arthur Weasley at the hospital and they see Gilderoy Lockhart there and like in the psych ward. Same with Neville's parents, which is a scene that's cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
Where Neville's parents were tortured into insanity.
So I thought they were killed. I didn't know they were tortured into insanity.
Tortured into insanity, and they're at St. Mungo's, and Neville would visit. And Harry knew about it, but the rest of them didn't know until they visited Arthur there, and they saw Neville there with his family. But that's another thing. Apparently, there's a big fan theory that the reason that Neville's magic is so bad is because he was using his father's wand.
Oh.
And the wand chooses the wizard. So that's a big fan theory. Same thing, you know, obviously Ron breaks his wand in this one.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so there you go. All fun facts for you.
And then the next addition to the cast and another actor who just absolutely kills it in this role, and that is Jason Isaacs as the just love to absolutely despise Lucius Malfoy.
Oh my God, he kills it. Another actor who just devours the scenery.
He is so despicable of a person. Like, there is not a single good thing in his body.
And he is exactly like I imagine he would be from the books.
Yes.
Like, it come to life. And also, his wand is badass.
Yeah.
When he pulls, he goes to kill Harry.
Yeah.
Like, he starts to say Avada. Like, he's about to kill this kid in the school grounds for freeing his elf, who we got to talk about next.
Oh, that's right.
But I love Jason Isaacs. Like, there's very few times where he's on screen that I'm just like, eh. But.
And he kind of came out, I mean, like, I didn't know much about him when he...
It was this movie that really propelled him,
but it's funny seeing him in movies before this. I mean, he has this, like, throwaway scene in Armageddon.
Oh.
And you know, he's good, but it's like, oh, crap, that's Lucius Malfoy.
I really enjoyed the fact that... So he does interviews, you know, they all talk about these movies now very, very nicely, which is always nice, you know, like when the actors talk about it. He talks about the scene where he's talking to Harry Potter, or, like, his character is, and it's like, well, let's hope Mr. Potter's always here to save the day. And Daniel Radcliffe actually ad-libbed the line, "Don't worry, I will be," like, off the top. And even Jason Isaacs was like, that was when I knew that this kid had it, like, that there was something special. But, like, he not only did he ad-lib it, but also they kept it in the film.
I think that was in the trailer, too.
Oh, I think it was, like, the end of the teaser.
Yeah.
But Dobby?
Dobby the house elf.
Another character that gets the shaft in the films, but he's, like, so much more in the books.
Yeah.
This movie and obviously his final appearance, R.I.P. Dobby.
And he's voiced by Toby Jones, who I... No, he's not. He never played another character, but he's another very well-known British actor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Dobby is... I always found annoying.
Really?
I just found Dobby annoying.
Even more annoying than Colin Creevery?
Colin Creevery?
The kid with the camera. He's another...
I don't remember much. I don't remember that kid at all.
Yeah, he's taking all the pictures of Harry the entire time.
Oh, God. I remember him from the book.
Oh, you know who we didn't mention?
Who?
Shirley Henderson plays Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle. But I think it's a different person doing the voice. And I think it's like, someone fairly famous,
and
too.
She's like 40.
Well,
like,
yeah. The actress who plays her... Hold on. It's going to bother me now.
I know it's going to bother you now. Shirley Come on, you Henderson. Can do this.
Because I think the actress playing her is not the same one who did the voice, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no. Shirley Henderson plays Myrtle in the film versions of Chamber of Secrets and Goblet of Fire. She was supposed to be in Half-Blood Prince, but she wasn't. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. It's funny because she's 57 playing Moaning Myrtle, who's supposed to be like 15 or 12.
Well, you would
or
never guess
like
it. I mean, she looks, you know. They make her up to look probably younger, but.
She's a ghost.
She's a ghost.
It's fine. But. Yeah, any other cast members you want to mention? Hit me.
Arthur Weasley. We are introduced to Arthur Weasley for the first time
this
movie.
He's
and
just fun. He's
why
just
am I blanking on the actor's name who plays him?
Well, because we suck at this.
We do.
We're really not that good.
He's not listed in the freaking cast.
Not in like the main part of the cast.
I should know this guy's name because I like him. He, from 101 Dalmatians, he plays one of the dog catchers.
Oh, yeah.
The dog
That's
nappers.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, he's really not listed anywhere. This is a really annoying thing. Oh, wait, no.
Mark Williams.
Yeah, we both
found
it at the same time.
Yep.
But anything else about the cast you want to mention?
That's about it. Those were the major ones to the cast that we would see, obviously, minus Gilderoy Lockhart, but the others we'll see numerous times throughout the rest of the series. I'm really boggled by the Moaning Myrtle. I swear
I thought so, too. You're probably right. So if you guys are listening and you know this for a fact check us. Fun facts from the fanny pack. Let's do this.
All right. No worries.
It's driving you crazy. Isn't
it is.
It's really bothering
me. Yeah, no, it's not there. Okay. I've been proven wrong. I'm okay.
Okay, then. So a couple of things that were omitted from the books. We have Nearly Headless Nick's death day party.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a big thing. He's still in the movie. And
Not much, but he plays a factor, obviously, because he is petrified by the basilisk, but he obviously can't die because he's a ghost, as Harry so plainly says. He's like, he got the full form, but he's dead. So
he's like, you can't be more dead.
Can't be more dead.
He's only half dead.
Penelope Clearwater was a character that was like totally omitted pretty much from the movie. Apparently she was found petrified next to Hermione in the book, but in the movie, Hermione's all by herself.
They changed that Hermione knows what the term mudblood is before, so she's actually the one that explains it.
Yeah, which I think was good.
It was fine.
It was a good scene. That was a denoming the garden, I mean the burrow of the Weasleys. Didn't even go into that. And then obviously the journey of the Ford Anglia was much more
dramatic
than it was in the movie.
Oh, yeah. But there are a lot of other things, but like, or smaller things, but really like just some of the biggest things. Oh, we did get introduced to Cornelius Fudge in this movie.
That's right.
Mr. Magic. I love how he's like, no, Harry, it's cool. Like, you're not totally, it's in this movie he gets expelled. No, which one is it?
He gets expelled in the third one. He thinks he's going to get expelled.
And then Cornelius Fudge is like, nah, you're cool, man. You're cool. And
no one goes to jail for blowing up their aunt.
And then I think it's Half-Blood Prince when he's like, no, Harry, expelled. Leaving Hogwarts forever. It's so weird. We also have Aragog.
Yes.
The giant spider, who we do get to see a little bit later.
Voiced by Julian Glover, who was the villain in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Love it. But, yeah, I mean, anything else you want to mention about this movie? It's still not my favorite
it's
movie.
It's not your favorite, but I like the flashback scene when they...
Riddle?
With Tom Riddle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the young Hagrid.
Oh, yeah, in shadow.
Because it's the whole Mourning Myrtle was killed by the basilisk.
Yes.
So I always liked that, you know, storyline.
It's got a little mystery to it.
And then knowing, you know, who Tom Riddle was, and then the scene at the end where he takes his name, I am Tom Riddle. Tom Riddle.
Tom Marvolo Riddle.
And he, you know, it's I am Lord Voldemort.
Yeah, because, you know, nothing says supervillain like taking your name and making a sentence.
But the basilisk, I have to say, was pretty creepy, I have to admit. That
whole scene's very...
It was pretty...
And it's a good combination of practical and...
Yes, and Fox, the Phoenix saves the day, and...
Sword of Gryffindor.
Yep.
A lot of payoff comes from this movie, like later on in the series, you know, with the Horcruxes and the sword and all that stuff. Like, a lot of great callbacks happen towards the end. Like, J.K. Rowling did a great job in the last book of really pulling things from previous books. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Sorcerer's Stone kind of gets the short end of that. This book, though, has a lot of things that they bring back in the final.
Yeah. Not many stuff comes back from Sorcerer's Stone because they really kind of finished it all up in that movie. There really wasn't anything hanging off of what you found out in Sorcerer's Stone that you needed to hear about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look at the... Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets held its world premiere on November 3rd, 2002. It wasn't released in the U.S. until the 2 weeks later on the 15th, and it opened to an $88.4 million opening weekend, and it was the third largest opening at the time behind Spider-Man and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Nice. A couple of awards, but nothing crazy.
No. Again, nothing. I think after Sorcerer's Stone, the biggest award these movies ever got was probably like production design or something like that.
And on a budget of $100 million, it made $879.8 million.
Nice. Wild. Nice. Got a 7.2 out of 10 off of Rotten Tomatoes. So it was, you know, did very darker story than the first one and expanded on the universe. So it was really our first... You know, obviously with what's going to come next, where the universe just went, you know,
wild.
So, but yeah, it's definitely low on the totem pole of the Harry Potter films, but I have to go back and really sit down and watch it again just to really, try it again. Listen, none of the Harry Potter films, in my opinion, are bad.
No.
Like when we say it's...
I think
it's
we said that last week too.
Yeah, we say it's low on the totem pole. It's just... There's eight movies. You know, someone's got to be the worst of the eight. Star City
I give it a 3.5.
3.5? I agree with that.
Yeah, it's solid. I might actually be lower than, say, 3, but I think I have to rewatch it again.
All right. But consensus right now, we'll both do a 3.5, which is good.
All right.
All right, we got Fan Feedback Friday.
Heck yeah, we do, and it's Harry Potter themes. What is your Hogwarts house end? Patronus. For me, personally, Gryffindor and a Phoenix Patronus, no big deal. The Multiverse Fancast said 10 points for Gryffindor. Co-host of the Multiverse Fancast, Ronnie, is Hufflepuff, and his Patronus is a Black Stallion.
He does seem like Hufflepuff.
He is such a Hufflepuff. And our friend Joe is also a Hufflepuff.
He's another Hufflepuff.
Sean, all right, you're a Gryffindor and the Wolf Patronus, badass. Mm. Our friend Joe is Hufflepuff, and he's got a Hedgehog Patronus. Our friend Brendan is Ravenclaw and a Bat Patronus, that's fair. Mike, our friend Mike, said Slytherin, of course, and Dragon Patronus. Producer Melanie is Ravenclaw, and she's a Dunmar, which is a horse, apparently. And our friend Karina is Hufflepuff and a fox. That was a fun one. I like that one.
That was good.
Yeah.
Solid. We had some good responses, too, which is nice.
So if you guys want to respond to Fan Feedback Friday, super easy. All you got to do is go on Facebook, type in Cinematic Adventures, and bam, there you are. Every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you'll find Fan Feedback Friday. You can also find us on all the social medias like Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Type in Cinematic Adventures or The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. And of course, there is our website, themisfitfaction.com. Nailed it. Print.
Wow.
Thanks.
Couldn't do it any better.
You want to go see Ant-Man now?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
All right. Well, this has been fun. As always, I am Sean.
And I'm Paul.
And everybody out there, have a great rest of your night.
We'll see you for Prisoner of Azkaban.
I can't wait.